From Georgia Public Broadcasting, it's On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Tiny houses are hot right now. The housing trend among Instagrammers, affordable housing advocates, and HGTV's tiny house hunters is now being proposed as a solution for homeless veterans. A Savannah-based nonprofit aims to have 24 residents safely moved into a village of tiny houses by the end of the year. Cindy Murphy-Kelly is executive director of Chatham Savannah Authority for the Homeless. And welcome, Cindy.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Is the tiny house project on track to open in 2018?
It is on track. After a long, slow process to get us on track, we broke ground last month, and the first units are being built at Fort Stewart. We have a partnership there with HBI, and so the first 12 will be built at the base, and the rest of the units will be built on site, a total of 72.
A total of 72, but 24 residents you think can move in by the end of the year?
Yes, that is correct. Two villages of 12.
So I've seen the plans without a lot of detail, because I know you've put a lot of thought into the best, most efficient, low-cost materials. How big are the houses?
The main homes, and that's 68 of them, are 16 by 8, and the four ADA-compliant units are 18 by 8.
So I know it's hard to get an accurate count of homeless population in general, but how many homeless veterans do you think are in Savannah?
Well, we actually do an annual count, and we count every one of them. And our most recent count, which was last year, 231 homeless veterans.
Mm. I'm sure you've seen other models for this kind of tiny house for veterans. Where have you looked, and what have you seen?
We actually looked at models around the country. There's a charming little book that has a variety of models for people interested in building tiny homes. We also spoke with a board member in Madison, Wisconsin, and they built some small tiny small homes. And we talked with some folks in Eugene, Oregon. And then we did a lot of reading research, because there's actually quite a lot out there about the movement and what's the best way to build and how do you think about this.
And Chris Stout is CEO and co-founder of the Veterans Community Project, which launched Homes for the Homeless, tiny homes in the veterans community in Kansas City, Missouri. Chris, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am.
So, Chris, your project was in the works for 2 years, but just opened up the door to vets this past January. Why did it take so long?
It took a while because we're a grassroots organization. It was just three vets that started this. We were given a piece of property, and it had no sewer and infrastructure for us to be able to do tiny homes within Kansas City limits. We had to make some compromises, and one of those were it couldn't be on wheels, you know, no septic tanks. We had to be hooked up to city utilities. The homes had to be on foundations, very similar to a traditional house. So it allowed us to build within our small footprint, but, you know, kind of accommodate to a normal home. So we had to bring about 1,799 linear feet of sewer to the property to make it happen.
So a lot of hoops to jump through. How much did the units end up costing per unit?
So just through our partnerships and, you know, community support, our actual cost to build them is well under $5,000.
Wow, that's pretty efficient. So I'm wondering, you know, Chris and you, Cindy, you said you've done a lot of research on this. Why tiny homes instead of converting old buildings, schools, you know, buildings that aren't in use anymore for veterans?
So that was our first thought. We headed down that path. Tiny homes were kind of a second idea. One of our board members had suggested it after we approached the city to give us one of their empty schools, because Kansas City has 26 empty schools here. You know, that being said, when we looked at it from an operational standpoint, the cost, it just wasn't cost effective to repurpose a building like that. The other piece was, is out of the three of us that started this, we were working with vets every day. I mean, we're out there on the street doing outreach and engaging them. And they posed a question to us that was very relevant. Well, what's the difference between a building like that and the current shelters that are out there? You know, you still have your communal living situation, communal shower, that kind of stuff. You're not kind of giving them that opportunity to have that safety and that security and all of that stuff that they desire, and kind of removing those barriers to get them off the street. So for us, tiny houses were the option.
Cindy, what was the decision? What was behind that decision for your organization?
Actually, our decision was very similar. It was a very cost-effective model, and we utilize a housing-first approach, and we really wanted our residents to have a place where they can actually go and shut the door and use their own bathroom and cook in their own kitchen. And we felt that that independence and the permanence of the housing was critical. We also are hooked up to city sewer and water, and we have a big infrastructure bill that's actually contributed to the cost. But overall, it's a very affordable option, and we live in a community with a major affordable housing crisis.
Has there been any resistance inside of the community about having effectively a settlement of people who had been homeless right next door?
Yes. We actually found land two times before we settled on a third plot. Because initially we were going to do a small project of only 10 units in a neighborhood, and we had a lot of NIMBY, and so we made the decision to look for land that was a little bit more out of the way, still in the city, but our land is between a horse stable and public housing, and it also is a much larger piece of land than we had originally intended, so our little $200,000 10-unit project grew to $1.7 million.
Wow.
When you add the purchase of the land, 72 units, three clubhouses, and all the infrastructure.
Yeah, it's an expensive city to live in, as it is. We're talking about the development of tiny house villages with Cindy Murphy-Kelly. She's executive director of the Chatham-Savannah Authority for the Homeless, behind a project, the Tiny House Project in East Savannah. Chris Stout is also with us. He spearheaded a development of tiny homes for homeless veterans in Kansas City, Missouri. So a lot of homeless people stay away from shelters because of the security concerns, because there's often conflict or you're afraid of your stuff getting stolen. But there are also rules. You can't use drugs. You can't use alcohol. Of course, from your perspective, there are safety concerns. So are there rules for living inside of these villages?
We are a housing first project, and the rules are very limited in that we don't allow an open flame in the units just to protect the units overall, and we are a harm reduction model approach. And so we strongly believe that folks need to be stabilized before they can work on their issues or focus on quality of life. And as long as our local officers aren't upset with what's happening, we are pretty open to the lifestyle that our folks choose to lead. And we also really think it's important to treat folks as adults. Mm-hmm. We know some of our folks have challenges, but again, it's really important to work with folks when they're ready.
Yeah, from what I understand, especially among homeless veterans, what really helps is, you know, kind of 360-degree wraparound care, not just housing, but in many cases for PTSD or other ailments or medical ailments, treatment, active treatment. Is that something you can offer? Or let's ask you, Chris, you've been doing this for a while. Is that just one piece?
Yeah. So for us, you know, the tiny houses are kind of like, that's a shiny penny. That's the bait and switch for us, right? We get them in with that, and then the meat and potatoes of what we do is everything else. It's the group and the individual therapy. It is sending them to substance abuse treatment so that they can get taken care of. And to your earlier question, you know, we started out very similar. We're like, hey, listen, they're adults. They're going to, you know, we want to treat them as such. As long as they're progressing and moving towards permanent housing, you know, they're welcome to stay. However, what we found was, you know, veteran A, you know, their behavior was affecting veteran B. So I'm like, listen, we didn't stop the drinking altogether, but we said, listen, it couldn't be on the property. So we had to make some adjustments early on.
Cindy, how about you? What kind of services are you going to be able to offer in addition to providing housing?
We do have a wide range of wraparound services available. We are a direct service provider, and we are the lead agency for homeless services in our community. So we have many collaborative partners, and so we offer a wide range of services, and we have the capacity to build additional services as they are needed. Most recently, we've developed a street medicine program, and the Tiny House Village will be one stop on that program. So we are also a learning nonprofit agency, and as was mentioned, we know that we will have to adjust as we learn, but currently we're also managing 54 units of scattered site housing, so we have some seasoning with respect to working with formerly homeless folks, and we know that even with best intentions, sometimes we have to adjust what we're doing to make it a fit for all the residents.
Yeah, that can be a pretty big psychological jump for somebody, can't it, to have been on the street for a while and suddenly there's housing. I've actually heard of some people who have not been able to really cope with that.
And we do anticipate that some folks will not be able to already with veterans that we work with in our 22 homeless camps and our emergency shelters. We have a couple of those veterans that we have housed, and in one case, one individual twice. And this particular veteran is simply unable due to PTSD and other issues to maintain the housing. So our primary goal is to keep folks in housing, but we know for some it's going to really be a challenge.
And Cindy Murphy Kelly, the settlement in East Savannah, is that open only to veterans?
It is. The donors that have provided all the support for the project, private donors, businesses, no government money at this point, it is restricted to serving homeless veterans.
Chris, I'm thinking that you watched as veterans moved into, formerly homeless veterans moved into these tiny houses in Kansas City. What was that like to watch them take up residence?
Well, so we're a very small project here. So we started building those homes, those first 13 homes we have. We built those, we started those on Christmas Eve. And we completed those in about 31 days. And so when I say we, I mean we, the founders, like the three of us that started this, were out there till about 2 a.m. every day. So for us, on January 31st, when we had that big ribbon cutting thing, and we actually were able to invite the vets in to see the homes for the first time, you know, and the looks on their faces, you know, because a lot of these guys came straight out of the shelters or were in their cars. And for me, it just, it made all that work worthwhile, you know, because, you know, we spent the last two and a half years working about 100 hours a week, you know, putting together houses and raising money and, you know, kind of making this happen for these guys. And to have the most grateful, you know, and humble group of people moving into these homes, it was absolutely worth every bit of it.
Chris Stout, CEO and co-founder of the Veterans Community Project in Kansas City, thank you.
Thank you.
And Cindy Murphy Kelly, she's executive director of the Chatham Savannah Authority for the Homeless. It's the nonprofit that is creating tiny homes for homeless veterans in Savannah. Cindy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For more on the project, go to gpbnews.org. Just ahead, it's a long way from Peru to the U.S. An author looks back at her family's migration and life in America. This is On Second Thought.